Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. It is day three of the Australian Open, and it has been so eventful, I do not know where to start other than to say, welcome back, Catherine Whittaker, fully recovered.
Thank you, David. Yes, thanks for declaring to the world once again that I was ill. I'm going to get a reputation as a hypochondriac. Don't eat the pork belly in the press room. Is my advice to anyone listening.
I should remember that. Yes. Well, at the moment, we come to you from the Eurosport green room. This is where all the talent hangs out, isn't it? This is where all the big names are lounging around on sofas as we speak, just chatting amongst themselves, watching as we speak, in fact, Grigor Dimitrov, who's up against a guy I have to say I'd never heard of in my whole life, and I'm quite embarrassed to say it, Mackenzie McDonald. Although, given the way things are going, I think we might be hearing a bit more about him, because he's won the first set and he's won set all.
Do you know what? I had heard of him, and the only reason I'd heard of him is because our mate Wayne Ferreira has a part in coaching him, and I remember him talking about him a few years ago. I remember him mentioning that he was working with he was a junior at that stage, Mackenzie McDonald. I think he's 22 now, so that would have been, well, at least 4 years ago. He's mentioned him a couple of times since then, but I had to say I hadn't realised that they were still working together. But there he is, as we speak, sat in Mackenzie's box, and his lad's doing a fine old job at the moment.
He is. No, he's playing very well, and have to say, this we don't know how this will end up in the end, but this is kind of what Dimitrov has looked like for the past couple of weeks in Brisbane. A lot of double faults, a lot of errant shots, and not that convincing, to be honest.
No, it's not the guy that won the O2, and it's not the guy that reached the semi-final here last year. It's also not Dimitrov anywhere near his worst. I'm not sort of desperately worried for him, but you're right, there's a couple of percent missing, isn't there, if not a few more than that on the Dimitrov that gives us the great hopes of what he might do. I don't know, but Mats Wilander's been in commentary on this for us on Eurosport, and he's been saying that Mackenzie McDonald is a perfect illustration of what winning at any level can do for a person, because he's been out there plying his trade on the futures and the challenges, and he qualified here, beat Elias Immer, the young Swede, in the opening round, and just winning matches, regardless of who the opponent is, just gives you a feeling. Winning is a habit, isn't it? And he's in that habit, and he's okay. Dimitrov won that second set 6-2, but he's still in a tussle here, I would say.
Yes, he is. Winning is a habit. I'll tell you somebody who used to do a lot of winning. Do you remember that Alex Kuretsch bloke? He was quite good, wasn't he? and he's just looking at us over now. Oh, he's very happy.
If you say something good, it's fine.
I've just got to say something good. That's all I've got to do. And then it's fine. What I want to do one day is get that Alex Kuretsch together with that Pete Sampras and talk about 1996 at the US Open.
Don't you?
Yeah. Come sit over here for a second, Alex, and tell us all about the day that you played Pete Sampras.
Be a David Law, and Alex Kuretsch, a reminiscer package.
And Pete Sampras was being sick, wasn't he, on the court whilst you were playing at the US Open. Do you remember those days?
Hello, everyone. Well, he wasn't sick. I made him sick. That's
different. You made him sick.
Yeah, because, you know, we spent like 4.5 hours on the court. It was very, very hot, very warm. and he got dehydrated a little bit, but he still beat me. That's where it's a shame, you know?
It's not what people remember, Alex, evidently.
You know what? They keep reminding me about that match, like, since then, and that was 96. And I'm still going to go to New York. Some people just see me walking around in the, you know, the National Center, and they're like, are you Alex Correia? And I'm like, yes. Oh, I remember you, Magic and Sampras. And I said, oh, yeah, it was good, huh? And he's like, yeah, it was amazing. I said, yeah, for him, not for me.
John McEnroe gets that about the 1980 tiebreaker course.
Yeah?
All anyone remembers is that he won that tiebreak, but he lost the match.
Yeah, that he aced me at 7-0 and that I double-faulted to end the match. That's pretty much what people remember, too.
On a happier note, you've just interviewed Nick Kyrgios, haven't you, Alex?
Yes! I was very surprised.
He took very easy care of Viktor Troicki.
No, he didn't take very easy care of. Did you see, how much in the match did you see, Alex? Did you watch all of it?
Not much.
I commentated on that match. Let me just tell you, he won through in straight sets. What was it? 7-5, 6-4, 7-6.
Yes.
It was 2 hours and 12 minutes. I have never felt as stressed watching a match of 2 hours and 12 minutes in my life. He made the whole thing feel like the biggest ordeal you've ever seen in your life. He was complaining throughout the whole match because the speaker system for James Kyothavong, the umpire, wasn't working, and Kyothavong was having to shout the scores, and Kyrgios just could not handle this. He just kept saying, when are you going to get this thing fixed? I've been asking for an hour and a half for you to get this speaker system fixed. Everything was winding him up. I think the fact he was playing an opponent who he thought he should be beating quite comfortably, and he wasn't, was winding him up. And
a bloke who he had called a journeyman.
Had he? Oh, dear.
Well, you told me that.
I did read that quote.
He said also about the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a helicopter. Yeah, a big red helicopter just hovered over the Hisense Arena. I mean, it was quite scary. Yeah, I did think, oh, my crikey.
Probably a Nick Kyrgios fan.
I thought either somebody's trying to find a new way to watch the match or they've landed and we're about to get visited by aliens.
You know what? He was super nice to me.
Was he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know him personally. And ask him a few questions, and he was very, I don't know, he was good. He was very good.
Well, we were talking about the fact that you were going to do that interview during the second set of that match, and I said he's been on good form this tournament, and you were sceptical. But I said,
I don't think he doesn't even know me, you know, so sometimes it helps, you know. But he was great.
And he knows.
Everybody knows Alex
Correia. No. My mom, for sure. But he was good, and he told me about that thing. He said about the speakers. He said about the helicopter. Because I said to him, how do you control the emotions? Because the people get very loud when you play here. How do you avoid that? Or how do you just get apart? And he said, like, oh, you know, it's very interesting. And I was the helicopter. So he mentioned it. So he get through. I said, maybe experience, it helps, huh?
Yeah, I think that does help. And I'll tell you what else I think will help is the fact that he's playing Joe Wilfried Tsonga next, because he always seems to play his best tennis against the best players. How did you find that? I mean, you know, did you feel like you were a better player if you were playing against better players?
Well, it depends. When I felt like I had the control, I like it better than if I play the best players in depends which surfaces. You know, when you need to face Sampras indoors or Agassi on hard courts or so, or Quarten on clay or Muster, I didn't feel that happy. You know, I felt happier when I have to play different opponents. So, but it's also depending on the moment and on the tournament as well.
I tell you what, though, Tsonga, after coming back from 5-2 down in the fifth against Shapovalov, he was pumped, and if he can find a way to be that pumped against Kyrgios, which is going to be difficult with the whole crowd against him, he feeds off a crowd as much as Kyrgios does, but if he can find a way to be that pumped, that's going to be
quite a match. Do they have like
a
similar game in a way, could say?
Yeah.
Both Tsonga and Kyrgios.
I don't know, they both serve like massive serves and like nice forehands, backhands, and maybe Kyrgios' backhand is better, I would say.
Here's a question for you. We know that Kyrgios, no matter what the match, no matter what the stage, always asks to play on Hisense Arena. Will Craig Tiley and the tournament organisers be able to resist putting that on a bigger court?
I think this time it has to go on the Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah, like a night session match.
I mean, of course, but we know that Kyrgios will ask.
Yeah.
He will ask for it to be on Hisense.
I think he just has to lump it this time.
Yeah, but at the end, he needs to play on Rod Laver, no? At some point, if he wants to win the tournament. So I understand the Hisense, maybe it creates like a bigger atmosphere.
And I'll tell you something that Mats Wilander just pointed out in commentary as they showed the match point of Kyrgios, which is, you know, potentially not that interesting depending on how much you like statistics, but Kyrgios is the 17th seed. Who was 17th seed last year, Alex?
Well,
was it Roger Federer?
It was.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a number, huh?
Oh, tell that to Mats.
Yeah,
okay. It's Mats' statistic.
Alex just dashing Mats' statistic.
No, it's
the
just
the look you just gave me.
What do you think of Denis Shapovalov? Have you seen much of him?
I love him.
Do you?
I mean, he flies on the court. He just is jumping all over the place. He hits winners so easy. I mean, the ball, it goes so fast out of his racket for him from the backhand side, from the serve, second serve as well. He just played an amazing game. I think today must be like very tough for him, but it's going to be a big and nice experience for him for the future. And, you know, in a way, sometimes it's good that you had this kind of moments where you, in a way, you fail when you think you're going to win, because it helps a lot for the future. So
why?
You never know. Well, because sometimes, you know, you need to go step by step, you know, and these guys, it seems like they go like 100 steps ahead from the others. So sometimes when they hit you on the face and you don't expect that, maybe you go back home and say, like, okay, I still have lots of things to work on and I need some more experience. So I think it can help him, honestly.
Is there also an element of hunger? Because Kyle Edmund, going into the fifth set against Kevin Anderson the other day, having lost to him in a fifth set in Paris, he said that he sat down at the end of the fourth set and just decided, I can't let that happen to me again.
Exactly.
You know, Denis Shapovalov right now is thinking about all the ways he can make sure that he never loses from 5-2 up in the fifth again, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe when he was up 5-2, he felt like, okay, I'm playing so good, I'm done, this is it. And, you know, for the next time, for sure, till he doesn't shake hands, he's not going to think that way. Maybe it didn't happen. But I felt like at 5-3, he didn't play that well. He rushed a bit. He double-faulted a little bit, and he missed a few shots. And then Joe, he just used his experience. So it was very good performance for him, because actually, Shapovalov's game, it hurts a lot, Tsonga's game. And still he get through. He lost to him at the US Open last year. So it was a very hard task for him.
Someone else that lost from 5-1, 40-15 in the third today. Jana
Fett. Yes, to Caroline Wozniacki. And I would prefer to turn that on its head and say that Caroline Wozniacki won from 15-40, 1-5 down.
Because I agree. I was just doing a segue, David. I was doing a lovely radio segue.
All right, okay. See, honestly, you know, it was ever so quiet yesterday when you weren't on this podcast. I had a lovely time with Jill Craybass and all the other people that I spoke to, Simon Briggs. And now I've got Alex over, who's nice and friendly and cuddly, and I've got Catherine Whittaker giving me in the neck. Anyway, Caroline Wozniacki is one of the game's warriors, isn't she?
Yes.
You cannot write her off until you've literally just won.
Well, she showed it again today. I mean, you know what? I was watching the end of the match because I was going to call Rafa's match afterwards. And I was in my cabin booth already. And I felt like Fed was rushing a little bit when she had match points. She wanted to go like for a big serve. Like, okay, I wanted to finish the match with a serve. I don't want the ball to come back again. And as soon as Wozniacki played solid, she was very, like, she knew that she could came back, you know. She was aggressive on the first match point. Then second one, she was solid. And as soon as she get the break, you can feel like Fed was like, oof, maybe I lost my chance already. And Wozniacki, again, a lot of experience. She was number one. She's just won the Masters a few months ago, so a lot of credit for her, because I mean, she's planning to be number one again, maybe to win the tournament. So big fighter. Yes,
David's got her in his final lineup. He's predicted she'll reach the final.
Who?
You have, haven't you?
No. I predicted Yulia Gerges would reach the final.
Oh.
She's just lost everybody.
Well, but that's a very risk call, I would say.
in a way, to be bold. I was trying to be, you know.
No, what I mean is, like, it says a lot good things about you. Because
does it?
Not today, it doesn't.
No, but I mean, yes. Usually people go like, you know, Garbine, Muguruza,
like
or Venus, or whatever. When you reach with some people, like if I would say Shapovalov, I also said, this is one of the guys I want to see this tournament, see how he goes. Him, Dimitrov, and Zverev, you know, because it's important to see how he can improve. As he showed last summer, you know, can he keep on going like this? I said, from what I saw, yes, but it's a tough loss for him.
It is a very tough loss. Yulia Gerges, tough loss for her as well. She lost to Elise Korner. I didn't see the match, but that's a crushing blow for her when she's on a 14-match winning streak.
Straight sets, I think, as well. I mean, look, Elise Korner can be tricky, and we are sharing a room with some French Eurosport we were a minute ago sharing a room with some French Eurosport representatives, so I should not bemoan that result at all, only on your behalf, of course, David, but that's a bit of a shocker for Yulia Gerges. I think
Alina Svitolina was another one who was a set down today. Alex, tell us, you play the tour, you win tournaments, you're on a great run of form. Is it different at Grand Slams? Obviously, it's best of five for the men. But do you find that you're playing against players who just raise their level when they're against you at the Slams compared to tour events?
Yes, but I have to say, I mean, I believe it's especially different for men because we play best of five. It's a big difference. I don't think why it should be that different for women, because at the end they play best of three. They're much used to about that. Might be more the pressure, you know. But at the same time, you feel like when you play best of five, yeah, if you're better than the opponent, you have much more time to recover. And even if you're down like one set or two sets or two sets to one, you know, sometimes you see that they play over the game and you feel like, okay, it's fine, he's beating me, but at the end I feel like I'm going to beat him, which when you play on the tour, you just lost one set and you are down a break and you feel like under pressure. So in the Slams, you have much more time. And you know what I was thinking, like at the French Open, I was starting the matches and I was always thinking like, I'm going to start very slow and very relaxed, because physically I feel like I'm very strong, mentally I'm strong. So there is no rush. I have 4 hours in front of me. If he's ready for that, fine. If not, he's going to just go down for sure.
I tell you what, Mackenzie McDonald's just going to break up in the third.
And actually, Wayne Ferreira is in the player box, I saw.
Yes.
Yeah. I had a question for you, Alex, but I've forgotten. I was distracted by the work of Mackenzie McDonald.
Have you seen this 15-year-old, Marta Kostyuk? Marta Kostyuk.
Yeah.
She won the juniors last year at 14. She's not even 16 till June.
Yes.
And she didn't even get a wild card. She qualified here. She's on an 11-match winning streak at the Australian
She got
Open.
A wild card for qualies.
Well, qualies wild card, qualies, yeah. But she qualified, won, and there's now run two rounds. I mean, she's 15. 15.
Oh, dear. I mean, that's young, isn't it? How long ago?
That's like,
when does that
50
mean
years
born?
Ago for us.
So 2002. She's born in 2002.
Yeah, on June, yeah, as you said. Yeah. It's not like from January.
I mean, Alex was still playing.
Yeah. That while ago?
No, my question, Alex, I've remembered it, is going to be, the forecast for tomorrow is 38 degrees. Oh. And for Friday is 40 degrees. And you can probably add 5 to 10 degrees on top of that for court temperature. And every player that I've spoken to and sort of posed the question to about the heat wave has said, oh yeah, you know, that's why we do our off-season training, you know, same for the opponent, all of that. But really, in reality, that is going to sort, I mean, I hate the phrase men from the boys, but it really is, that's going to do for some people, isn't it? I mean, that's serious.
Yeah. Yes.
How do you cope in that sort of temperature?
Well, at the end, it's true. You've been working hard, especially off-season, just to be ready for this kind of situations. Of course, you don't work at 38 degrees, never. And especially if you're from Europe, because you have very cold weather in winter time. But at the same time, you feel like, okay, you just go out there and you know it's going to be like a battle. And whoever is harder and stronger is going to win. Maybe it's not that important to play very good tennis, but you need to play very solid. I would say in the outside courts, it is faster conditions. The courts are very small and they go very fast, but the other courts, like show courts, you know, are bigger and they're going to be more rallies, so they need to be prepared for a long match, and that's tough. You need to get a cold towel every changeover, you need to drink a lot of fluids, you need to keep on eating, so it's tough.
Do you think that he... did you see much of Belinda Bencic's match today? She lost to Lexika Kunkel.
No, I know. She lost 6-1, 6-3.
Do you think... I think, David, you watched some of it. Do you think the heat was getting to her today?
I would have thought so, because that was quite an alarming loss. I didn't see all of it, but, yeah, I mean, her opponent played well. I saw some of the end of it, but you can... here in the words of Elena Svitolina, she said, I felt like I was melting out there. You know, it's not for everybody. It makes... I walked here today and I came out of my apartment and I thought, oh, this is nice, lovely blue sky. By the time I'd walked 10 minutes, I was like, oh,
this is not that nice.
I could do it going inside now.
But tomorrow's going to be even tougher. But Svitolina, she's a very tough opponent, huh? I mean, if she is worried about like the heat, I think the opponent should be more worried, because to win a point against her, she runs, her backhand is deep, and she's got a great mentality. I think it's one of the toughest girls to beat, I guess.
Who's going to win the title, men and women?
We have no idea.
No, but we don't care whether we got an idea. We've just got to say.
Yeah, I mean, you just throw up a name and she lost today, so where are we going to do the same?
Yeah, I'm always wrong. Bencic in at least in a semi-final. I might even have had her in my final. I thought she could win it. I really did think Bencic could win it.
Yeah, I think from the women's side, it's a little bit very open. It's a little bit more unpredictable.
How many names do you think there are on the women's side? Because, I mean, Michael Joyce, Joe Contis' coach, said he thought at the start of the tournament there were 25 women that could win it. How many, 25. Based on what you've seen so far, how many names would you put out there that have a genuine chance of winning it, would you say? 5, 10?
Yeah, I would really need to count that, but maybe between 8 or 10 for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe on the men's side, it's... You know, I felt like Rafa made like a big statement today. He showed that he's ready, that he's playing very well, very aggressive. I mean, the level of game they played, it was very amazing, in my opinion, because Meyer played very good tennis. And I think for him, mentally, it was very well needed. He needed to play this match to feel like, okay, I'm ready. I'm here. I start the season already, you know, because he hasn't played and... he needed this match, and in my opinion, after this match, Rafa is going to think like, okay, I'm here, watch out, because I'm ready to win.
Yeah, he looked like a ravenous animal today. I mean, it was fearsome. I mean, Leo Meyer was...
he played well, didn't he?
Credit to him. Yeah, especially in that third set, Rafa served for it. You know, he could have just been mentally packing his bags, and he really stuck at it. Good on him.
Yes, indeed. So we're struggling to get a prediction out of Alex, but I think we've got a Nadal for the title there, don't you?
Sort of. He's smiling. I mean,
he's looking at me as if you're in trouble after this.
You know, I go Rafa or Roger. I'm classic for that. But am I going to be surprised if Dimitrov or Zverev or... I don't know. We always need to give them credit. But I feel like Rafa and Roger, they're a step ahead of the others right now.
Just before we look at very quickly at the order of play, and before I go back to commentate on what is going to be the fourth set,
can I just
this
watch
match?
A little bit, because I need to do an interview to Dimitrov and I haven't watched any.
Have you? Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Let's say
we've made Alex sit with his back to the match.
I tell you what,
he's supposed to be watching.
Let's just say a very dramatic thank you and goodbye to Alex Qureshi, because it's been an absolute pleasure to have you unannounced on the Tennis
pleasure
Podcast.
For me.
That's
hi
the kind
everyone.
Of guy we're dealing with here, folks. From Eurosport, Mr. Alex Qureshi, French Open finalist, former world number 2, an all-round great guy. Huh?
Thank you.
That's always liked Alex Qureshi. And he's just sitting there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Over there. So, the order of play tomorrow, Catherine, sees... I mean, we get off to a bang here. Maria Sharapova against Anastasia Sevastova. That is a heck of a match on
the
Medvedev Arena.
Replay of the fourth rounder at the US Open, of course, won by Sevastova. And, of course, at the same time, Joe Contra will be playing on Show Court 2 for all those British listeners. Not all British, but
Show
feel to point that out.
So, yes,
which will be, if what Alex is saying is right, and I've no reason to doubt it whatsoever, that's I'm... not a heat-wise, a bit of a bum draw for Joe Conta, although she says she loves playing in the heat.
I think that's not bad, you know. 11 o'clock, it won't be quite as hot as it will later in the afternoon, will it? So you'll have that live on Eurosport.
We will have that live on Eurosport from midnight UK time, and then we'll have Sharapova Sevastova on Eurosport too. So all bases covered. I mean, not, you know, all not the Dominic Thiem base covered, but actually, yes,
player.
The Eurosport
you can watch
player.
As many as you want, can't you?
And
it'll also be on Five Live Sports Extra, I believe, the Conta match. I want to have a little bit of a rant here about Novak Djokovic against Gael Monfils being scheduled in the afternoon. Why is that not a nighttime match? Why is Roger Federer against Jan-Lennard Struff the primetime night session match?
I'd also argue with Ash Barty versus Camilla Giorgi being the Rod Laver Arena night session match over Halep versus Bouchard. But I'm not defending them. I have the same issue. But I believe American TV, which is ESPN, which is a broadcaster we know holds a lot of clout, I believe that the third day session match is the US primetime slot. That's a bigger deal for them than the night session slot. I mean, for us, covering it from a UK or Europe perspective, it's an absolute bummer because day session matches, unless you are the ultimate tennis nerd and set your alarm for 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, as I used to as a kid, it's not great, particularly on a weekday, is it? But that's the only light I can shed on the situation there.
Yeah, I mean, we always try to work out, don't we, who has precedent? Is it the Australian TV? Is it American TV? Is it the Australian crowd? What do you go with? And the other element of it is fairness. You know, it's going to be 38 degrees tomorrow. Roger Federer is going to be playing this nice little cool night session match, while Novak Djokovic and Gael Monfils are just frying.
Well, that was a big factor last year, wasn't it? Did Federer play a single day session last year?
I think he played one, is what I heard a stat today. But, you know,
be interesting
many.
To see if he's met. Yes, I think, didn't he play his Misha Zverev? His quarterfinal against Misha Zverev during the day. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, depending on how far he gets, if and when he is scheduled to play during the day. I mean, we know he won't be scheduled anywhere but RLA, but the timing...
Just
TBC.
A couple of other little matches to draw attention to.
Little? Kerber against Vekic. Love
that's
that.
That's quite good, isn't it? Second on Margaret Court Arena, that one. We've got Simona Halep against Eugenie Bouchard, who actually won a match.
That's where we're at with her now. But she is somebody that some inexplicably and frustratingly she will probably bring her best for that match, and will probably celebrate her momentarily, and then she'll disappoint us again if the last few years have been anything to go by. But form books aside, I expect that match as a one-off to be really good.
High Sense Arena, how about this one? Karen Khachanov against Juan Martín Del Potro. Wouldn't want to be a tennis ball in that one. So, yeah, there are loads of good matches. The order of play, of course, out there on the Australian Open website. Anything else you want to add before we sign off, Catherine?
Stan Wawrinka's playing a guy called Tennis.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I know who he is. What's
Tennis
his name?
Sangrin. He was supposed to play Andy Murray in the first round in the US Open.
Ah, claim to fame.
And, but, of course, Andy Murray pulled out.
Yeah, that's right, of course. Well, it's lovely to see you back to fully full fitness.
Thank you very much.
You know that Alex Kurecha? Do you know, I saw him beat Roger Federer. He's punching the air. I saw him beat him, I think, a couple of times, actually. He's nodding his head. Three times. Three times winning record against Roger Federer. I won't look out how many Federer won. I think it's a winning record for Alex Kurecha. Yeah, he says yes.
He's nodding.
So there we
He's
are.
Nodding.
So it's been an absolute delight having Alex on the Tennis Podcast, of course. We are brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport, for whom they have the rights for this tournament. And you get to watch all the action on Eurosport, don't you? You get to watch Catherine Whittaker. All that. It's fantastic. and we're also, of course, sponsored by La Manga Club, where Catherine learned how to hit a forehand.
Well, improved my already acceptable forehand.
I haven't actually sampled it yet. Did you know that Jill Krabas is now my
coach? Turbocharged my already great forehand.
Jill Krabas is now my coach.
Good luck to her.
She's going to prep me next week for our match. And we are, of course, backed by Triple S, our executive producer, and Melanie Bowes, and TennisBalls.com, and, of course, Charlie the Ferret.
Who's
our mascot?
Well, no, the ferret isn't here, but
yeah, Charlie's mum's here. Yeah, she's been posing for pictures in the Tennis Podcast T-shirt, because that is how you should attend the Australian Open. That should be the official garb for the tournament. Catherine Whittaker and myself, David Law, are here at the Eurosport green room, and we will say goodnight for now, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.